Good morning, gang. Welcome here to the Panic Podcast for Wednesday. It is good to be in your company as we study the Bible together. Today I wanted to take a look at the promises of God, and we're going to start off in Romans chapter 4. So get those Bibles opened up and get those cups of coffee poured, put the kids in front of the TV set, and we're going to study the Word of God in just a minute. What a good day to be in the house studying the Bible, or in the house doing just about anything, because it's miserable here in Southwest Virginia at the moment. It's supposed to be sunny and up into the mid-60s today, but right now it's kind of drizzling, kind of sorry looking outside. You think winter is over? I mean, at least in my neck of the woods. Those of you that are listening on the East Coast, the southern part, Virginia, Tennessee, places like that, you figure the winter's over. I don't know. I keep hearing about this big blizzard they had in the 90s, and I think that was way into March. So I guess there's always a chance that you're going to get snow until there isn't. And of course, what they call a blizzard down here, I call a cool spring day. So it's, I guess everything is relative. Well, let's read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 4 to get things started today. As we look at the promises of God, specifically standing on the promises of God. Romans 4, beginning to read at verse 20. Yet he, that is to say Abraham, yet Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That's right, the apparent impossibility that the promise would ever be fulfilled did not stagger Abraham, didn't enter his mind. God said it, Abraham believed it, and that settled it. As far as the patriarch was concerned, there was only one impossibility, and that was for God to lie. For all of Abraham's faults, his faith was strong. His faith was vibrant. He gave glory to God, honoring God as the one who could be depended on to fulfill his promise in defiance of all the laws of chance, nature, and possibility. But the Bible is a book filled with the promises of God to his people. Now, someone has calculated that there are at least, are you ready for this? 30,000 promises in the Word of God. I'm going to say that again because that's almost unbelievable. 30,000 in the promises of God, in the Word of God. I have never set out to count them, so you know, that's entirely possible. The figure may appear to be extravagant, but you got to realize there are hundreds of promises made to us where I think we've failed to recognize the promise or even claim the promise. Now, the book of Romans tells us that the secret of Abraham's spiritual achievements is to be found in his recognizing and clinging to the promises of God. He didn't stagger. He didn't get discouraged. He wasn't filled with anxiety because of the mystery or miracle of the divine plan for his life. Abraham was one who was fully convinced that God was both able and willing to accomplish that which he had promised. Boy, may God grant us the insight to discover his promises and the faith to claim them. There are many, many Bibles and there are many scriptures, promises in the Bible. Now, of course, they're not all made to you. I would say the bulk of the promises in Scripture were not made to you. They're made to people long gone. But there are many promises specifically made to God's people. So if you count yourself as being one of God's people, then listen up and see what you can learn. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher of the last century, wrote a book which I think is still in print, and I have a copy of it. It's called Faith's Checkbook. This book is a series of daily devotionals for use throughout the year, and each devotional is based on one of the exceeding great and precious promises in God's Word. Spurgeon said this. He said, quote, "A promise from God may very instructively be compared to a check payable to order. It is given to the believer with the view of bestowing upon him some good thing. It is not meant that he should read it over comfortably and then have done with it. No, he is to treat the promise as a reality, as a man treats a check." Isn't that interesting? Spurgeon always has great quotes. Sermons are always terribly wordy, but his quotes are very pithy. How many, let me ask you this, how many of the promises of God have you discovered and claimed? Let's talk first of all about the promises for today, the promises for the present. Many of the promises that God made long ago are for those who live today, in the present. But if you would recognize them, you have to claim them by faith. Is it possible that you could know the Bible and have missed out on some of the promises it's made to you? Yeah, I think it's highly possible. God doesn't change with the passing of time. What he said yesterday, he means for today. What he was yesterday, he is today. What he did for his people yesterday, he will continue to do for us today. God does not change. When we study the Word of God, we should place ourselves in the middle of the action, let's say, and identify with biblical characters when it's appropriate to do so. When God promised to forgive and cleanse from sin in the past, I'd say we can be safe in assuming that we can claim his promise of such in the present upon condition that we sincerely repent. As God promised to guide his people in the past, so he promises to guide in the present, if we would be sensitive and listen, and most of all, willing to respond. I think one of the great problems with the promises of God to us today is that, number one, we don't recognize them as promises made to us. But number two, we fail to do what is necessary to claim that promise. A lot of the promises God makes to us today are what I would call conditional promises. They are made on the condition that you do something, right? So the promise is that God will forgive your sins. Well, you must repent first. Now, there are all kinds of promises that God has made that do not involve us doing anything to receive them, okay? But I would say the majority of promises made in the Bible that we can rightfully claim as our own are conditional. They depend on how we are living, whether or not we're being obedient to God's word, whether or not we even know God's word. How about that? Like, one of the greatest hindrances to receiving God's promises today is that the modern Christian is ignorant of the word of God. He just doesn't read it. He doesn't know what's in it. So I think at the very outset, if you're going to claim God's promises, you need to actually read the Bible. And don't just read Spurgeon. As good as a faith checkbook is, don't just read Spurgeon. Read the verses that he's writing about. Know what he's writing about, and know the scriptures in context. God promises to guide us today, but we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we have to be willing to respond. There are also many promises for the future. The only thing certain about the future, as far as we are concerned, is the fact of change. Nothing stays the same. How many of you like change? I've found there are two kinds of people out there. There are people that hate change. They want things to stay the same. And then you've got people that just are crazy about change. They think every change is good. Both of those are extremes that need to be avoided. Change for the sake of change is not a good thing, but change for improvement is always a good thing. Things change. Nothing will be exactly the same tomorrow as it is today. In a world that moves so fast, and in a time when man has unlimited access to virtually unlimited knowledge and unlimited destructive power, it's easy to understand why so many people are fearful as they face the future. Are you one of those? Are you someone who is anchored to the past so that you are afraid of the future? The future is not meant to be fearful. The future is meant to be a journey into adventure. You got to trust the Lord for your future. Your days are in God's hands. God is sovereign over all the world. If you think that Sleepy Joe is in charge of the United States, you're crazy. And by that I mean Jesus Christ is sovereign over this country as he is over all the countries of the world. They may not know it. I suspect they don't. But nothing happens that goes unnoticed to the Lord, and nothing happens that he doesn't allow. I mean, you've got to believe that. Everything happens for a purpose in the believer's life. We live in I would call it a complex society in which the consumer, us, and the producer, are frequently so far removed that it's difficult for many to have a sense of significance and belonging. We get lost in the crowd. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like you're an outsider? I think a lot of us do from time to time. On all sides, I think there's a constant increase in anxiety and insecurity. But let me tell you something. The child of God can be assured that in an ever-changing and sometimes chaotic world, you are worshiping a God who does not change. Everything around you may be changing, but God is not. He is not. The promises which he made will surely be kept. Nothing can stop God's promises from being fulfilled. Not any government, not any army. Nobody can stop God from keeping his word and fulfilling his promises. Just like nothing can stop God's will from coming to pass. Man may try, governments may try, legislatures may try to tamp down the word of God. God laughs at that. He's the one that's in charge, not them, not they. We need to discover the many promises concerning God's abiding presence and his providential care if we would face each tomorrow with confidence, good cheer, and above all, optimism. Christians should never entertain discouragement as far as tomorrow is concerned. Got to have faith. Then there are the very distinct promises that God makes to his children. I would say that God has made most of his promises to those that belong to him by making promises to his children. God has revealed his desire to impart to them a blessing or blessings to enrich their lives. The divine promises were not given to deceive or to encourage false expectations. The heart of the loving Heavenly Father moves toward his children constantly with purposes of grace. His every intention towards us is good. Boy, you've got to understand that. God has only your best in mind. A study of the Bible and even of Christian history will reveal that those who have endured the trials and difficulties of life and who have persisted and went forward to real achievement were those who had studied the Word of God and discovered God's promises. These promises were discovered, they were understood, and they were claimed. And men and women moved forward depending upon God to do exactly as he promised. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many of us today, believers in 21st century America, fail to ever do anything for God. It's like we're sitting still while life moves on, because we are not moving with God. We're falling behind because we are not claiming his promises. It is reported that the margin of the Bible used by Dwight Moody contained the letters T and P on almost every page. When Dr. Moody was questioned about the appearance and the significance of these letters, he replied by saying that the passage contained a promise from God to his people. The T indicated that he had tried the promise, and the P indicated that he had proven the promise to be true in his own life's experiences. How many times do you suppose those letters would appear in the margin of your Bible? Huh? Do you read it that closely that you take notice of God's promises being made to you? And are you that interested in them that you would actually try them, test them, have God prove himself to you? It's okay to do that. Without fear of any contradiction, it could be asserted that the number of P's would be determined by the number of times that you have actually not only read God's word, but trusted in God's promises. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews affirms, quote, he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:23. God is faithful. He made the promises. He will keep those promises. But God also made promises to the unsaved. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but for those who are not his children, God has certainly made promises to them. The Bible contains, as a matter of fact, many promises from the redeeming Father to the unsaved. Forgiveness, as I mentioned earlier, is promised on condition of repentance. Eternal life is promised to those who by faith make Jesus Christ the Savior and Lord of their life. Acceptance by the Father is promised to all who will come to Jesus. Deliverance from the power of sin is promised to those who would break with the love of sin and come to Him who conquered even death and the grave. For those who don't know Jesus, many and powerful are the promises. The conclusion of this whole matter of God's promises is that we must accept the promises of God as being made personally to us, and we must claim them by faith, the ones that we are able to. And don't forget, there are some promises in God's word that are not made to you, and those are clear and obvious that they've been made to someone else. But folks, there are so many promises for you that have remained unclaimed. We must put our confidence in the truthfulness of God and His faithfulness to keep His word. We must put the endorsement of our faith upon the divine promise and present it at the throne of grace, even as we would ask, present a check to the cashier of a bank to be cashed. That's what a promise is. It's a check. You got to hand it over to the Lord and ask Him to cash it. The promises of God, as I say, many of them, not all, but I'd say most of them are conditional. They are conditioned, well, at least by our faith and faithfulness. God is true. God is not a liar. You can count on Him. So put your faith in His word. Put your faith in His promises. And let the experience of the poet be your experience. Listen to this. It's a little piece of poetry I read by Kelso Carter. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, though eternal ages let His praises ring, glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the prevailing word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Scripture's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. I bet some of you are singing that. It's in your hymnals, I almost guarantee it. If you're in a Protestant evangelical church, you're going to find that in your hymnals, standing on the promises of God. You stand on them. Understand them. If they're yours to claim by faith, claim those promises and see what happens to your life. Well, that's it. It's about 23 and a half minutes past the hour, and this man has a ton of things to do today, so we're going to call it a day on the Panic Podcast. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Listen, if you enjoy these little Bible studies of ours, then share them with others. Don't keep a good thing to yourself. Send the links to your friends and neighbors. It doesn't matter if they go to a different church or if they don't go to church at all. If you know somebody that would benefit from our time together, then share the Panic Podcast with others. And if you enjoy those little three-minute Bible studies, the video studies that we do, 3 minutes with Mike, share those. You know, they're all over the internet. They're on Facebook. They're on Rumble. They're on Truth Social. They're on Telegram. And, of course, they're on my website, Witsend, with a Z, witsend.me. Share them with people, and others will be blessed as you have been. God is so good to us. He's always watching out for us. Be sure to reach out and claim those promises today. And have a great day today. We'll see you back here on Friday for another Panic Podcast. God bless you all. Stay safe. Stay free. We'll see you again real soon.